Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Banner civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
No Greg, no Pete, but there is Mikey B. Our good friend Ben Horowitz is here, who you were very excited to see this morning, I heard.
Who's that, Ben?
Yeah.
Officer Ben is the man. Always sharp dressed, got that manicured beard of his. Looking good. Look at him.
I know. Ben comes in really super dressed up for this job.
How many women you got, Ben? You got about a, you got a harem, don't you?
I got a few.
See? Boom. There you go. He doesn't say a lot. He's just smooth and goes about his business and doesn't get anyone's way.
No, Ben's very popular. We love Ben.
Casanova.
Paul Nanos and John Kincaid love Ben.
Really?
After Hours
the skunk loves
Ben.
You, dog.
What an eventful Wednesday the Gio and Jones family had as Mikey and Brian and Greg ventured uptown to hang out with fancy CBS folk who will be working on CBS NFL coverage. Nate Burleson, Dan Fouts, among those conversations you will hear today. Very interesting conversation I heard with Nate, with Greg reminiscing about their Viking days.
Right, I forgot that Nate played for the Vikings. So G used to go up to Mankato. He was looking forward to it while I was hating it because it was during training camp, and that was the Cheese League. I don't know if they were considered in the Cheese League. I guess they were since we'd bus up there, or they would bus to us to scrimmage one particular day during training camp. So I used to hate that. Go to Mankato, you go to Platteville for the Bears, and didn't like it at all. Because you had to get up so early. It's training camp. And this is back when you really had training camp, and there were more hitting going on, and the days were long, practices were long, and then you have to get up at 4 in the morning for a bus trip to Platteville or Mankato. Brutal.
What did you like about playing football? You didn't like
loved
the combine.
Everything.
You didn't like Mankato and Platteville and training camp and two-a-days and Wednesday practice and Thursday practice and Friday practice. Yeah, what were they, Brian?
The money and hitting someone. Where else can you hit someone in the mouth and not go to jail?
That's a deep question.
I can't think of too many places.
No.
Boxing ring, football field. That's about it. Hockey on the ice.
Yeah, I'm just still stunned that girls wasn't one of the two things.
I
thought there were three.
Okay,
so
the lifestyle.
Three. Okay, there you go.
Three, the lifestyle.
There you go. Yeah. Speaking of girls, we will hear from a porn star going after Royals GM Dayton Moore this morning because, of course, she would. We'll also hear or see or discuss a woman, Lexi Pantera, I believe her name is.
Lexi?
Yeah, who has put Giancarlo Stanton in a erotic music video. So the possible home run king is branching out into different vehicles of expression.
Now, he's on his own accord is in the video,
yeah,
or
he
she
was
just
not,
inserted him?
No, he's
no pun
there.
Intended. On her own.
Yeah, no, he's in the video. It seems to be very willingly. I don't think he was kidnapped and brought in. But his acting chops may leave a little to be desired.
Well, okay. Not everyone is multifaceted and talented
like
us.
Right.
Yeah.
Not everybody could do stepping back.
Thank you. Not everyone's Abdul.
I want to call it stepping out every single time.
Isn't that another movie?
Probably a good one. I don't know.
Stepping back is critically acclaimed, my man. Come on.
Find me that critic. We'll also talk to Gary Stokan, a good friend of the show, the CEO, president of Peach Bowl Incorporated. It is a big, big year for the Peach Bowl folks. The 50th anniversary of the Peach Bowl. They get a New Year's Day slot leading into the semifinals. But this organization...
The finals, isn't it?
The semifinals. They host the finals.
They host the finals, right.
And they've got this year two kickoff games, including Alabama-Florida State Saturday night, Georgia Tech and Tennessee on Monday. So Gary Stokan, who was on the show last year, makes his return here this summer/fall.
What a way to open up a new stadium.
Yes.
I mean, the Mercedes-Benz Stadium there in Atlanta, it looks incredible. It looks like something out of a Close Encounters of the Third Kind. But yeah. I can't wait to venture into that joint during the SEC championship game. We failed to mention that. So they've got some huge events that are going to be taking place there. Not to dismiss all the Falcons home games that are going to be ongoing. But, I mean, they've got a hell of a slate to open up a new arena.
And you're right, though, about the arena. There's when I was on the Peach Bowl website last night, it's early shots, kind of drawings of Mercedes-Benz Stadium because it's just now being complete. But there's this one kind of aerial view looking down into the stadium, and the way the roof opens and closes, there's a hole in the center of it.
Right.
And the roof like slats, panels are kind of like over, and it looks like it's a hole swallowing you. Like you're going to fall into it and be sucked down into like a garbage disposal and die. But it's a beautiful building. The roof may or may not be open at some point this weekend for these games. But again, Gary Stokin in our third hour, Nate Burleson, Dan Fouts in hour number two. We begin off and running with the finally completed Cavalier and Celtics trade. This one is done.
It's done.
Both teams have confirmed it. Isaiah Thomas is going to Cleveland with Jay Crowder, with Zizic.
That's Ante to you, man.
A first-round pick. And now to complete all of this, because of Isaiah Thomas's hip injury, the Cavaliers, drum roll please, accepting a 2020 second-round pick that the Celtics got from the Miami Heat. This, to me, is akin to when you and Greg were forming Gio and Jones and looking for a producer, that you went to CBS and said, give me Gary Delabate, the legendary producer of the Howard Stern Show, because apparently the Cavaliers at the beginning of all this were asking for Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum on top of Thomas and Crowder and a first-round pick from the Nets, and then they accept the Biseglia of draft picks, the Heat's 2020 second rounder. I mean, really?
Wait.
We had 4 days of limbo for us. 2020 second round pick?
Discount a 2020 second round pick.
Yes.
Like that?
Uh-huh.
You're going to put it in the same space as our producer search? And say we arrived at our choice in the same manner as this 2020 second round pick, and this 2020 second round pick that the Cavaliers now have, it will not rise to the level of someone that may be a pretty good player. You never know.
I'm pretty sure that the NBA is not the NFL. Your picks, the players that pan out are picked like 1 to 15.
Isaiah Thomas was a second round pick, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's the exception to the rule.
Yeah, he was the 60th pick.
Great for you. He was the last pick, right? I mean, that's good for him. But again, if you're banking on the 2020 second-round pick that the Heat gave the Celtics that you control being something, I mean, kudos
Mikey
to you
B
for
Mikey B was an undrafted,
but
unknown, not even free agent.
How's that work?
Just
out?
Free. Just free.
Yeah.
He was just free. He was a free-range chicken out there,
man. How about
man?
That scary?
Just wandering the streets.
Well, there are a couple, well, at least one glaring issue. What's up with his hip? Because no one seems to know, and Isaiah Thomas is saying now that he's not sure when he's going to be back. He'll be back when he's back. That's all you're getting.
Right.
And so you get this 2020 second-round pick. When you were asking for a first-round pick, another first-round pick, they have the 2018 first-round pick that they got from the Celtics,
yes,
that the Suckers were able to get from the Nets. And so now, of course, you're going to ask for more, and then eventually you settle. You have a meeting of the minds, and they got right up to the deadline. And it's, okay, we'll take the 2020 second-round pick. Did they get everything they wanted? No. And if Isaiah Thomas turns out that the hip's going to be fine, and he seems to think it's going to be fine, they don't think it's a career-hampering deal here. And Isaiah's saying that. And no doctor has told him given him that prognosis. So he thinks he's going to be fine. He will continue to be an all-star player. So if he pans out and everything's cool with the hip, it doesn't look as bad. But everything is going to hinge on this hip and how Isaiah returns and overcomes this injury from a season ago. And when does he return? And that's another key question. How long do the Cavaliers have to hold on until Isaiah is out there on the court?
Yeah, I mean, and it almost, it's not that it doesn't matter. But I'm under the assumption that Isaiah Thomas is going to play again this year, and he's probably going to end up going along a timeline where he's peaking when we get to the end of the year, which is what you want him to be doing, and will have less wear and tear on his body when we get to March and April and May, and then for the Cavs' sake, hopefully June. I just think that I can't believe that we went through, you know, the possibility of this not happening, and even the Bucks reasserted themselves back into this conversation, apparently with this Malcolm Brogdon and Chris Middleton offer that was on the table, had been on the table, to jump in when this, if this didn't get done, and all of this fighting and back and forth and bickering and grandstanding ends up being for a really an inconsequential draft pick.
Like, so what do you do? You're going to ship Isaiah Thomas back? Kyrie Irving's going to come back to Cleveland?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, you couldn't. This deal couldn't not happen. It had to. It had to go to the end. Mm-hmm. But the Cavaliers just basically. I mean, they just blinked. I mean, they just. To me, they just. You know, they might have been tough for 10 minutes, but they knew they had nowhere to go in this, and they take nothing right up against the deadline. I mean, well, just a waste. It was a waste of time.
As we sit here today, not knowing what's going to transpire with this hip of Isaiah Thomas, yeah, it looks like the Boston Celtics got the best of them currently. I will maintain what I said when this all came to the forefront. I believe that the both teams will end up winning at the end of the day. It depends on, once again, the hip. Isaiah comes back, he's the same player. You know, I think it's even Steven, and everyone will be happy with what they were able to garner from the deal. But until we see Isaiah Thomas on the court, and here's another thing. You got the Cavs now alleging that Boston was not being transparent as far as the health of Isaiah Thomas. So both of these programs, are they going to be at odds now, these organizations? And in the east of the NBA, they're going to be at each other's throat now, not only on the court, but we're going to be verbal attacks and dishonesty that will now reign over both of these organizations, how they move forward.
Yeah, I big picture, I think everybody wins here, Brian. I mean, I think right. this is a fair trade. It's an even trade. It's the rare trade where both teams are improving through it. I think it's far more than the Cavs, or it's close where the Cavs were able to match in terms of the value of Kyrie Irving, giving him up and then getting back Isaiah Thomas. And you can nitpick at certain areas about what they didn't do. You can nitpick about Danny Ainge trading finally this last Nets pick and overshooting the market when he wouldn't include it for Paul George or Jimmy Butler or anybody else. We can talk about what might happen down the road with more Celtic moves. But here's, you know, to me, the negative to throw back in the Celtics face in all of this, I still think the Cavs are the best team in the East.
Really?
Yeah.
Even with Broke Hip going over there, yeah, and Kyrie Irving and Hayward, and now they're in Boston.
Yeah, because they've got LeBron.
Okay. All right. They got LeBron.
I think LeBron
but
is
But LeBron
still,
doesn't have Kyrie.
He doesn't have Kyrie.
I like Kyrie Irving more than I do Isaiah Thomas. Now, as he leaps and bounds ahead of Isaiah Thomas, right now, yeah, because we don't know when Isaiah Thomas is going to hit the hardwood again. But I would take Kyrie Irving over Isaiah Thomas. Both are equal and healthy. I'm taking Kyrie Irving.
Yes. I mean, Kyrie is top three individual scorers in the NBA. I mean, you need a guy that to get you points. He's on the short list of guys you'd put out there to get you points. But he doesn't play defense. I, at times, cannot deal with the fact that he plays quote-unquote point guard and can go entire games without an assist, which is almost mathematically impossible. You throw in Isaiah Thomas's grittiness and his ability mm-hmm. to hit big shots and his fearlessness. Yeah, Kyrie's the better player in a vacuum. But I think that when you put anybody with LeBron makes you the best team in your conference. Now, if you're asking me, do the Cavs have a better shot of beating the Warriors now? No. But they're still the best team in the East. I think losing Kyrie and the dynamic player he is hurts them in that ultimate matchup with the Warriors, if, again, we're thinking that they're going to be there in the end, which I do. But I don't think this trade makes them the second, third best team in the East. They're still number one.
With LeBron in the starting role, yes, they're still formidable. Kevin Love. Then you have Isaiah Thomas. See what he does. Derrick Rose will have to carry the water until they get Isaiah Thomas. I thought Derrick Rose availed himself pretty nicely when he wasn't jumping on flights to Chicago without informing anyone. So I think starting five, okay, fine. But the bench, that's where they really fell off. And now you have Jay Crowder. I believe he will be coming off the pine. And so if they can elevate, upgrade that bench, that then will give me the go-ahead to believe that they are the best team in the East. But until they do that, and I know they've gone to the championship last 3 years. I understand that. But I like what Boston's done. And I give them the edge over Cleveland right now.
I like what Boston's done, too, and this conversation might be different in a year, but all of the questions that you have about the Cavaliers, I can almost match one for one with the questions about the Celtics. How does Kyrie fit into this? How does Gordon Hayward fit in? I mean, this is, don't forget how new all of a sudden this Celtic roster is. I mean, it's remarkable the turnover that a good team has gone over in the last, 4 years, but in particular in this last season, in comes Hayward, in comes Kyrie. They're looking for so much more out of Jaylen Brown. They're going to lean on Jason Tatum. And those are young guys who have just not gone through the ringer just yet. So I think, LeBron.
Brown has. He played damn good coming off the bench in the playoffs last year.
Yes, but now you're asking him to start and play.
Well, that's why you picked him as a number one guy. You want him to start. He's got his feet wet. He's been in the fire in big moments, in big situations. So now let's jump up here into the starting lineup and see what we're working with. I like the youth of the team. Kyrie Irving will come in. It'll take a minute for these guys to build chemistry. We saw the same thing down in Miami when LeBron and Bosh and Wade. So, yeah, it's going to take you a little time to build that chemistry and get a feel for each other's game. I'm sure they're going to go on a banana boat ride this summer and get to know each other, and everything will be just fine in due time.
Now, also connected to this Cavalier-Celtic trade is what it does for the Cavaliers in the future, whether it's keeping LeBron or living life after LeBron. Kevin Durant, the latest to try and calm Cav fans' fears about what James will do down the road. Plus, because we've missed them and we need more of them, the Ball family is back on camera. Thank goodness the drought is over, because LeVar and company are coming to a small screen near you. And Brian, for one, cannot wait. Phone lines open at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hurricane Harvey has devastated many lives in Texas, and those families need help. Camping World Supercenters is stepping up and launching a campaign to collect new and gently used clothing at all locations. Please donate shoes, shirts, pants, and blouses. In addition, Camping World has started a matching campaign at the local store register.
That's right. If you donate any amount of money to the Red Cross while you're in the store, Camping World will match your donation up to $2 million. So whether you can bring new or gently used items or just give a dollar at the register, please find a Camping World location near you and help.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Our national nightmare is over. The Cavaliers and Celtics have ended our despair and completed their Irving and Thomas trade. A lot of that and other stuff in an update in just a second. Brought to you by Marco Belletti, who is here playing my role today, which makes Brian very, 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 very happy.
I need somebody to lean on after our Yanks got swept by the Indians.
Man, right out of the gate, Fredo.
Yeah. Get it out of the gate. I see Trenum choking since his son is the GM of the Indians.
He's actually not coming in today for that reason.
Yeah. Good for him.
Did you see him yesterday wearing shorts?
I did not see him. He's showing those little ugly legs.
You would have destroyed him.
At the stadium.
Well, he was here to go to the stadium. So he was dressed for his doubleheader duties at Yankee Stadium. Hmm. And in true, which it's going to be me in 15 years. He's got cargo shorts, black sneakers, and white calf high socks on, looking all sorts of GQ-ish.
Mark Chernoff, our boss.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Wish I had seen him.
He could have.
I would have had fun with that.
Silver flip flops.
Yeah. I'm staying quiet. I'm, fingernail away from getting fired already, so there's really no...
Not you.
That was a strange gamble of me to critique Chernoff's
wardrobe. I'm not going anywhere near any of this.
All right, here's your sports news, including those Yankee losses yesterday. Here's Marco Bellotti.
All right, we'll get to that in a second. A lot of discussion about that Kyrie Irving blockbuster trade, if it would go through. Well, in the end, the Cavs and the Celtics agreed they'd come too far to pull out now, so Boston reportedly agrees to send a 2020 second-round pick to Cleveland. That completes the deal after they had their reservations about the health of Isaiah Thomas's hip. All right, baseball. Diamondbacks took out the Dodgers 6-4. It's the first time L.A. has dropped four games in a row all season long. That's amazing. Twins remain in the thick of the AL wild card as they dismantled the White Sox 11-1. Angels stayed one back. They reached a five-run deficit. They outscored the A's 10-8. Cliff Pennington, the go-ahead grand slam. Albert Pujols went deep twice in this one. We've been dancing around this. The Indians and Yankees played a doubleheader. It's a possible playoff preview, and it was one-sided.
Down the wind in the pitch to Lindor. It swung on and hammered high and deep to left field and gone. Frankie Lindor hits his 25th. 10 of them right-handed. A moonshot in the Bronx. 9-1 Indians.
Oh, get over it.
You know, not, again, Tom Hamilton with the call, and he's great. Indians Radio Network. How does he have that kind of energy? The back end of a doubleheader, the game's already 9-1.
He's a pro. Professional, exactly.
Man, exactly. Goes to show how far I got to go. All right, Tribe went on for a 9-4 win. That was game two. They squeaked out a 2-1 victory in game one. Complete the three-game sweep. They win. Their win streak is now 7. Elsewhere, the Red Sox topped the Blue Jays 7-1, so their lead over the Yankees is now 5.5 in the East. Orioles have won 7 straight. They edged out the Mariners 8-7. They're just a game and a half behind for that second wild card. And the Brewers have put the Cardinals 6-5. They pulled it within 3 in the wild card. They also remain 3.5 out of the Central because the Cubs obliterated the Pirates 17-2. NFL preseason wraps up tonight. Everyone's in action except the Cowboys and Texans, of course, postponed due to Hurricane Harvey. A former Pro Bowl corner, Joe Hayden, wasn't on the unemployment line for very long. Released by the Browns earlier in the day, Hayden signed with the Steelers reportedly at 3 years and $27 million. Bengals linebacker Vontaze Burfict had a suspension reduced 5 games to 3 for that hit on a defenseless receiver. Seahawks reportedly looking to unload wide receiver Jermaine Kearse, trying to work out a deal for the wideout that signed to a 3-year deal, $13.5 million just last March. And apparently the CFL's Hamilton Tiger Cats, not afraid to make a splash. Just days after bringing in former Baylor head coach Art Briles, they've reportedly brought in Johnny Manziel for a tryout. They put him through a series of physical and mental tests. Apparently, Johnny Football did not pass all of them. Reportedly, too many red flags. Again, days after bringing in Art Briles. So it seems like Manziel still hasn't completely straightened out his personal life.
Let that sink in. This is my CBS Sports Minute topic of today as well. It's 7:50 Eastern time. This is an organization that was ready to ignore, overlook, and throw Art Briles a bone after ignoring rampant sexual assaults by his players. This team was ready to... They hired him. He was hired, and then they had to unhire him because everybody got so upset. They didn't think Johnny Manziel was mentally or physically fit to play for them right now.
Yeah. I love ball. Want to play?
Yikes.
Right, and he was just over in Costa Rica, I believe, at a gambling convention.
Why wouldn't he? And
saying he was doing just fine, and he was recovering well from alcoholism and other things that were impairing his ability to play football and couldn't make it at the CFL level.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong partying.
Apparently, they want to hang on. So some sort of like Canadian football thing where his rights.
They own his rights. So, yeah, they have a draft. I don't know if it's a separate draft, but they pick people that play in the NFL.
Which is really, really random.
So I was reading this morning that he actually can force them to make a decision because he's on their negotiating list. He can say, I want a contract. Right. And then they have 10 days to either give him one or rescind his rights. So this is not done yet.
Although I got to say, if you're Johnny Manziel, you're really in a position of leverage. At this point?
No.
Technically, he is to a certain extent. Now, just say, no, here's no.
Show me the door or give me a contract. All right, there's the door.
Right. Don't even finish your thought. can leave. I can't get over that this team actually, they had, a moment of clarity. And they're like, you know what? That Manziel thing didn't work. What should we do next? Oh, let's hire Art Briles because we need to anger somebody this week.
Oh, boy.
All right, thanks, Marco.
All right.
Brian will miss you until 7:20 when you're back with your next update.
We got to hug it out, dog. So, man. Go ahead.
I know.
I'm sorry.
I know. He's Kevin Durant. You're Bill Simmons. Those two guys chatted on Bill's podcast recently, and I guess in hour two of a long conversation, Durant said that he thinks LeBron James stays in Cleveland when all is said and done after this coming NBA season. Simmons disagreed. They, I guess, bet dinner on the outcome of LeBron's location. But I just... Can we find a date? Maybe it's opening day in the NBA season. Can we just stop with this conversation with different guys guessing where LeBron's going or using different rationale to put LeBron in L.A. or New York or with the Hamilton Tiger Cats? I mean, I can't keep doing this. It's such a dumb conversation.
No one knows.
He's going to do this. LeBron, I think he's going
to
do that.
He doesn't want you to know.
Of
he's going to play
not.
It to
and
the
he
end.
He might not even know.
Right. He doesn't know what the... What's going to occur next season? At this point, things could change. He may have an idea, but things could change. He may be leaning a certain direction, but anything can change. And circumstances, you know, could arise that that influence what decision he makes. And you know, you got Durant in on this deal. It was the rapper Lil Dicky, whoever that is. He and Durant were going back and forth. Lil Dicky, whoever he is, once again, saying that Cleveland should trade him. And Durant said, no, you don't trade a legend. He brought you a championship. You hold on to him. And
yeah,
so,
Blake Griffin said, I think he's going to go to New York, right, not L.A.
Yeah, no one knows but LeBron, and we'll know when we need to know. It will get out.
In the meantime, you can watch the BBB show on
Why
Facebook.
Why are you laughing, man? Serious
not,
stuff, dude.
Not Body by Biseglia on TV. But Big Baller Brand.
Now, Facebook reached out to Body by Biseglia.
Yeah.
And since it's now defunct, they had nothing that they,
right,
they could air.
They had all the imaging, all the graphics built, right, on BBB, so they wanted to find something else that, you know, didn't involve actually starting from square one. In walks LeVar and LaMelo and
LiAngelo.
LiAngelo,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And here we go. And they were on TV because we wanted to watch them live their lives.
Well, no, we discussed reality TV yesterday. We were,
yeah,
talking about Meiko Grimes. Is it Baller's Wives? Is that the name of the show we were talking
Baller
about?
Baller Wives.
Baller Wives.
Yeah, Baller's Wives is too hard to say. So Baller Wives.
Baller Wives.
Yeah.
And our not so much affinity for these type of shows. And so I wouldn't watch this one either. But it's going to give you a little bit more insight into LeVar Ball, who he is, his family, his wife, overcoming a stroke. So it shows that aspect of their life. And for those who are into this cat and his bombastic statements, now you can see him whenever you want to see him on Facebook. Now, so Facebook Watch, is it similar to Netflix and all these other?
You know what? The only thing I've watched on Facebook have been sports broadcasts, and you just go to you go to the page of whatever is broadcasting, and you just hit play, and it goes there. It wasn't a freestanding thing. It was just within Facebook.com.
You watch sports shows?
I watched a Fordham basketball game. It was streamed online.
Oh. And so it's free?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Huh. Oh, yeah, you couldn't have to be able to pay to watch the Ball Family. This is
well, how are they going to make money?
Because the amount of clicks that you get on the show allow you to sell advertising.
Okay, I understand that.
Yeah. So gotcha.
So they're going to have advertisement.
Yeah, yeah, I believe the shows will be sponsored.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks, Mike. CBS Sports Radio Business Insider.
See how long that lasts. Like
Biseglia.
I mean, how many shoes did they sell at $4.95? Not many.
14.
Those were sponsored too.
And I love reality shows. I'm surprised.
Really?
I'm surprised I haven't watched Baller Wives yet.
Oh wow!
I've seen Wags. That's a show.
What is that?
Wives and Girlfriends. That's another like E or VH1 show. I've seen almost every version at least once of Real Housewives.
Well,
big fan of Below Deck and Southern Charm on Bravo.
I think Gio's a fan of Below Deck.
Yeah.
Now, the original Housewives of Orange County I was a fan of.
Yeah.
But all the others after that, nah, you can have it. And we discussed yesterday Million Dollar Listing.
That's a good one.
I enjoy that one, the L.A. version, the two Joshes. But
you don't like the New York one?
I'm getting into that one. Yeah, I've been watching that one every now and then. I'm getting into it. Yeah. But it's L.A., man. So more flamboyant, and everyone's not on top of each other. It just appeals to me more than having lived out there.
Right.
Even though I now live in New York.
So my point is, I'll watch almost anything. Never watch whatever this show is called involving the Ball family.
But you'll watch Wags.
I watched it once because, listen, it has hot chicks.
You and I are simple cells here.
They have beautiful women acting like idiots. I'll watch that.
So maybe there'll be some beautiful women in Big Baller Brand. That's not going to entice you to watch
either?
It's not
going to negate him in particular being in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I got no time for that.
Maybe the boys, LiAngelo and Lonzo. And what's the other one?
The one that actually matters. I couldn't remember his first name
LiAngelo
for a second.
LiAngelo and...
LaMelo.
LaMelo. Maybe they have hot teachers.
Big booties.
No. We don't like that.
I believe Lonzo's girlfriend is in this.
Is she?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would imagine anybody that's connected to the family in any way,
right, it's part
shape,
of life.
Or form is going to be involved in this deal.
But I just, I've reached a long time ago, reached my peak with them, and Greg keeps telling me that LeVar is going to go away, and I continue to doubt
that. No, he's not.
No, he's going nowhere.
He's not going anywhere.
He's got a
kid that's in high school still. He's got one that's going to be a freshman at UCLA, and he has one that he has willed along with, who did he say he helped him? Zeus and Jesus willed him to the Lakers. Where do you think he's going? He's going right behind the bench. He's going to be just as annoying as he has been.
Exactly. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. About 24 hours ago, Jim Harbaugh ended, to some extent, this roster battle with the Florida Gators, releasing the official Wolverines roster. Still won't give anybody a depth chart. The Gator roster continues to lose young men. This is a remarkable thing that apparently Jim McElwain wants credit for. That's next on Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Keep up with the latest on the show on Twitter at Gio and Jones.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hey, Andrew Bogish in for Gio alongside Brian Jones. Mikey B is here. Ben is in for Pete. Nate Burleson and Dan Fouts will join us kind of next hour. Well, they're not live in the moment. Greg and Brian spoke to the two of them yesterday here in Manhattan as part of the NFL on CBS's little preview extravaganza. So those conversations for you today. Tomorrow's clips from yesterday include Ian Eagle, I believe, and who else? You didn't tell me, Mike.
He doesn't remember.
He doesn't remember either. Look it up.
Ian Eagle.
James Lofton.
Okay.
Steve Berline.
Okay.
And Trent Green.
Okay.
Oh, wow. We did six,
yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Six.
So we just kick our feet up tomorrow and play all those, right?
Did Mike bother anybody yesterday?
Other than bothering us,
right?
No, I don't believe so. He reconnected with his homeboy he interviewed a couple years ago.
Him in the kitchen.
What's his name?
No idea.
Yeah.
Why were you in the kitchen?
Where we do the interviews is right next to the kitchen.
Yeah. Okay. So there was no, like, hey, no recognition, no, he didn't remember you.
Oh, he remembered. He loved it. He was thankful for his 15 minutes of fame.
I think he wanted some more.
I think he did, too.
He was grinning from ear to ear.
Yeah, he was hovering over our mini table setup.
Wow, well, that's, look, we gave you a lot of guff for that, but look what you did for that guy.
Oh, yeah.
Good for you, Michael.
Oh, thank you very much.
Good for you. Way to bounce back from a tough morning for you yesterday.
Yeah, it was tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should we make it even tougher?
No, let's talk about the Gator. Let's give them some guff. 10 of them now, I believe, is the count who are not going to play this weekend against Michigan.
A hustle going awry.
Yeah. So the big story is that a handful of these young, impressionable Gators were buying things on their student ID that they shouldn't have at the bookstore to then sell them to other students to make some cash.
What's wrong with that hustle, man?
A couple of things. But most recently now, starting running back Jordan Scarlett and Rick Wells were caught up in all of this. They are suspended indefinitely, will not play this weekend. Now, you're not going to like this. Spectrum Sports, I believe, is the outlet that says that another Gator snitched on these two.
Oh, damn!
Uh-huh.
What?
Uh-huh. Let's shift the focus.
Huh?
Right?
He goes, what? Oh, man, he better look out.
Right?
Ooh, you better look out.
Watch your back.
Don't turn your boys in.
I mean, and down there, swamps and Gators, you could disappear in a hurry.
There goes the season. It's over. There's a snitch amongst us. We have a mole. There it goes.
When are these kids going to learn,
Brian? Goodbye.
When are they going to learn?
You don't snitch, man.
No, you look the other way when your teammates are committing NCAA crimes.
They were buying books
look.
For their classes.
And selling them.
They need a little extra cash. Throw a little extra coin in your pocket. Snitch. Wow.
I mean, they couldn't give this guy a discount on the things that they were pseudo-stealing or maybe give them for free.
They bought them and then they sold them for a profit. That's not stealing, is it?
Well, it's
frowned upon, but it's not stealing.
It's fudging.
If it was stealing, they would have gone to jail, right?
Right, they're just going to NCAA jail right now.
Yeah, they're just being suspended for a game. Is it just one game? I think
There's a couple indefinitelys involved in all of that.
Right.
Is it Antonio Callaway, one of the original culprits in this that got caught?
Callaway is a starter. Of course, Scarlett. Jordan Scarlett, he led him in rushing a season ago. And there's a defensive starter, Keovanis Davis.
Yeah,
Keovanis.
Him.
Mm. Yeah.
I call him Kev.
call him Kiev. And he's not Russian. Keovanis Davis is the only defensive starter, I believe, that was caught up in this deal. But now 10 Gators are going to have to sit out this first ball game versus Michigan. And we barely know 10 names off the Michigan team that are going to actually play in this game. So this is just a nightmare for the Gators.
And I think I saw Jim McElwain, a quote yesterday, asking for credit that they're actually addressing this. That other schools would have covered this up.
I don't know if he asked for credit, but I don't know what the question that was posed to him, but he did say that we're not going to turn a blind eye to things like this. We won't cover up things like this. We're going to always be transparent, was basically what he was saying.
I mean, which is a fair thought to a certain extent. And I think the bigger point would be this is not going to happen anymore. We're going to not have issues that we can handle head on as opposed to covering them up. I mean, it just would be nice if there were 10 Gators not suspended for all of their big games this season. As far as the game goes, we discussed this, I guess it was last week, but my buddy Felipe Franks is going to start at quarterback.
Felipe Franks.
An extra vowel in there.
Yeah,
really
he's going to be the starter. Everett Golson, the transfer from
Malik
Zaire.
Pick one.
He's done. He transferred to Florida State last year,
right,
or 2 years ago.
He didn't play. He's not on anybody's roster right
two
now.
Years ago, he was
in the NFL?
No, I don't believe so. So Everett Golson, you had Malik Zaire, who transferred from Notre Dame. And now you have Franks, who's going to become the starter, or has been named the starter for the Gators. So we'll see how he does going up against a Don Brown defense, which is always pretty good. When he was at Boston College and now at Michigan, they were one of the best a season ago. And although they have one returning starter, they've recruited well. I believe the other night on Inside College Football, I chose
you look sharp
today, Florida. Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
Don't know what you were saying because the TV doesn't have sound here, but you looked good.
You were still at work during that time?
It was replayed.
Oh, the replay.
Yeah.
It's like, damn, that was a late one. I think I picked the Gators to win. Because they have pretty much everyone coming back on the offensive line. They figure this quarterback thing out. They'll be fine. They have a bunch of guys that played last year on the defensive side of the ball because of the attrition they experienced. It's like number of teams you can say that about. Tennessee's in that number. All the guys they lost. Ole Miss is in that number. All the cats they lost as well on the defensive side of the ball. But Florida had to thrust a lot of people onto the field because of the injuries, and they'll be better off for that. But, you know, they lose Marcel Harris at the safety position. He was their leading tackler a season ago. So I'm not so sure. They keep taking these hits, and now you got suspensions, more suspensions, and you have a snitch. So I don't know what to think of the Gators now. I'm flummoxed.
And then there's a guy that I have a lot of respect for. Ed Cunningham played on the 91 Washington Huskies national championship team, had a 4 or 5 year NFL career. I met him years ago when he was behind a documentary called The King of Kong. I had no idea what this was, but there's a battle in the video game community about who has the all-time Donkey Kong record from the 80s, and they made a documentary about it.
Great game.
He's made other documentaries since then, won an Academy Award a couple of years ago, and he's a college football analyst on ESPN, and he is not that anymore. He has decided that he's just too uncomfortable promoting football with all of the health risks right now, and on the eve of the new season, he's just walked away.
Yeah, he's hung up his broadcasting headphones, and he's been doing it for a while, making some damn good money doing it. And he's saying he's seen enough. He doesn't want to be a part of this sport anymore. And it just bothered him. And you know, teach his own, of course. And if you feel like you are contributing to what's taking place out there on the field, you should remove yourself from the game. There's no way football is ever going to be 100% safe. No way. And I like the fact that we're finding out more information about CTE, about the brain, or helmets that are being developed that can possibly help minimize the damage that's done to the brain. You got leagues being proactive as far as changing the rules. So there's ongoing research that will continue to try to help. But, you know, this is not a tactic I would take. I love the game. I'm sure Ed loved it at some point, but he just can't sit there and watch. And I don't know why he feels like he is now complicit in the injuries that are taking place on the field. You know that going in, you're aware that what can happen, and even more so now as far as the brain injuries. That wasn't something that was shared with my generation and those after me. Now it is. You have a full understanding of, from head to toe, what could occur, from breaking ankles and tearing knee ligaments to now damaging your brain. So if he feel he had a heartfelt decision to make and he can't go along with it anymore, so be it. And you know, there are some things he does outline as how we can move forward and try to protect our youth. I agree with him that you shouldn't start tackling till you get to high school. I'm 100% on board with that. You know, definitely you shouldn't do it at the Pop Warner age, in which we started tackling at 10 years old. We had helmets on. Helmets were bigger than we were. So I think that's way too early to be in pads. So wait till you at least ninth grade to throw the pads on. And so, you know, good luck to Ed down the road. But I don't see how – you know, me broadcasting a game that I continue to love, is being complicit with the violence that takes place on the field.
One of my favorite people in the business right now, I want to be him when I grow up, Nate Burleson, sat down with Brian and Greg yesterday at the CBS NFL kickoff coverage spectacular.
That's a long title.
I don't know what it's called, but they talked to Nate
NFL
there yesterday.
NFL football seminar, man.
And it's to next on CBS Sports Radio.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.